And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Curtis Hurd. This episode, we will be previewing the upcoming match for Fulham against Cardiff City at Craven Cottage. We will be doing that, but we have other topics Curtis and I will be talking about. But before we do anything, I have to welcome Curtis back to the show. Curtis, how you doing? Welcome back to Cottage Talk.
Hi, Russ. Yeah, it's good to be back. Feels like a long time ago since I've done the show, so I'm looking forward to it as always. And got a good match to be discussing today because Phil Fulham are much better this season and proved how good we can be on our day against Newcastle. So tomorrow will be a tough match, and I'm glad to be here to preview it.
I'm looking forward to getting your thoughts on this match. Listen, it's early on in the season, Curtis, but this is kind of a pivotal match because this is a match, when you look at it on paper, Fulham should win. They should win, but it's so early on, you never know what's going to happen, and I think it would be an important 3 points because you'd be building on what they did. So I look forward to talking to you a little bit about Cardiff City. I actually got some information from a blogger that talks about Cardiff City, so I'll be sharing that with you. I also have some information from whoscored.com. We'll tell you a little bit else about Cardiff City, so I think we're going to build a good preview for everyone. But before that, and before we get into the show, I do want to mention this. I was a huge fan last season of FFC Radio with Sammy James, and he actually just went on Twitter letting everyone know that he won't be hosting anymore FFC Radio. And I just want to say to Sammy, best of luck in the future, and you will be missed. You were excellent on that radio show before the match, halftime, after the match. Sammy, you did a great job, and seriously, you will be missed. So best of luck to Sammy James. I just want to mention that. All right, Curtis, let's now get into the show. Let's start with some speculation. Everyone likes some speculation. Let's start with a piece of speculation that I'm really interested in because it's a player Fulham were linked to earlier in the transfer window, and things have popped up again. The Daily Mail has speculation linking Fulham to Blackburn winger Ben Marshall. What are your thoughts about this speculation and the player? Would you like to see him at Craven Cottage?
Yeah, I would. I think he's a good player, and I think he'd be a good backup to Kearney, Aite, or Luko, because we got a lot of versatility in them for attacking midfielders. But I want to believe the transfer is true. He's good, good player. What I've seen of him, as I've said, and I've also heard good things about him. And last night, saw a lot of rumours on Twitter that he had a desire to join Fulham, and that he handed in a transfer request. Only rumours, but there's a lot of rumours on Twitter. And if you think about it, Russ, seems accurate because Blackburn are in a bit of a state at the moment and are in a lot of trouble. They're bottom of the league. They've lost key players over the years, such as Jordan Rhodes, a star striker, Rudy Gusted, who's now Ross McCormack's strike partner, and Tom Kearney, who we know about, great player. And Grant Hanley, who's just moved to Newcastle. So bottom of the league without the key players that they've had over the last few years and a manager that hasn't really done much. And, you know, with a -7 goal difference after 3 games, it's not looking good for them. So Ben Marshall, if he did want to leave Blackburn, I could understand it. And we're in a much better situation than Blackburn are, so hopefully he does want to join us, and hopefully we get a bit accepted for him, because also I think they are in financial trouble. I'm not sure about that, but I knew they were a couple years ago, and I think they still are. There's something you might know, Russ, but anyways, just a lot of trouble at Blackburn at the moment, and they're looking the earliest favourites for relegation, to say the least. So he's good talent, and I've seen him before on the team sheet and looked at the likes of the people I've just said, like Rhodes, Gusted, Kearney and Hanley. And another one, Craig Conway, good player and young. So I've looked at them five players and Marshall every time the team sheet of Blackburn comes out, and he should be a good signing if we get him. but it's just rumours yet. And
sure,
it's got Sky Sports, so it's probably true, because Sky Sports are quite accurate, but haven't been the last couple of days. I've read on Twitter from some Fulham fans, but that is that's only my opinion. But yeah, Ben Marshall would be a good sign if we got him.
Yeah, I totally agree. I when I first saw this months ago, Curtis, I thought he would be a great signing. And what's interesting about him is his flexibility, because he can play as a winger, but he can also play as a fullback. So he can play multiple positions. I like players that can play multiple positions. So I think not only would he be a quality signing, but you can move him around if you need, if you have injuries, you know, you can play him in certain situations. But I think he would be a very good signing. If I can remember correctly, Curtis, maybe you remember, I believe, you know, the speculation was about £2.5 million. I think that was the speculation.
Yeah, I read that somewhere.
So again, if that's the amount, I think that's a fair amount for this type of player. I remember when he played against us and did a job against us. And I know he's well thought of, and I think he would be a very good fit for Fulham Football Club. So we'll have to see if this gains any traction, but I would like to see this happen. All right, my friend, let's move on. Let's talk about another piece of speculation that's been going on for a long time. This involves James Wilson, and the Telegraph had a story that Fulham and Derby County are battling it out for his signature, the Manchester United striker. Now, what are your thoughts on this?
We've been linked to James Wilson on loan from Manchester United for the past month or so now, and it's been in various newspapers, not only the Telegraph, I don't think, but in a way I'm glad nothing has come of it yet anyway. There's still a bit of time in the transfer window, but I don't particularly rate him. I don't think he did that much for Brighton last year, and I think we could get someone better in that position, someone that could score more goals. We definitely need someone for that position, and Jurkanović said in the interview earlier today that's on Fulham FC that he wants a striker and also a centre-back and centre-midfield. So he's obviously on the lookout for a striker. He's obviously
sure.
Got a few names. So whether James Wilson is one of them or not, we'll have to wait and see, but I definitely think we could get better in this position. And not only that, I think it could be on a permanent deal, because if James Wilson was to come to us, it would be on a loan deal. I think we could definitely get a best strike for multiple years. And if we do get a signature, though, I won't be complaining, but I just don't think he's the right suit for Fulham.
Okay, very good there, Curtis, and feel free to share your thoughts, and that's great. I have no problem with you saying, listen, you know, they could do better. My thoughts on this is as a loan, if you're bringing him in, Curtis, I hope you're bringing in another striker. As one of the strikers to bring in, I'm not against it, but I think that they would need a proven goal scorer. I think that is what they really need. And Fulham have been linked to several players. Who would you like to see them bring in if you were in charge of Fulham and you were Slavisa? Who would you want to be that proven goal scorer? Who would you want them to go after?
Well, first of all, I think you need a proven championship striker. This league's unique to the rest of the leagues out there and very physical. So I think maybe someone like Jonathan Codger, someone like Naki Wells, someone that has experience in the league and knows where the goal is. You know, we lost Ross McCormack and Moussa Dembele, and they were good goal scorers. So, you know, we got the creativity in midfield now, coming from Tom Kearney, Aluko. Aite's got pace, and we can really run at defenders. So, someone proven in the championship. I wouldn't like to see Martin from Derby. Don't think he's good enough. Someone like Naki Wells would be perfect for them, I think. And just a poacher is what we need. And Matt Smith could do the job, and he has so far this season. But you know, we've got a lot of fixtures, and if we want to be top of the league, I don't think he's good enough.
No, I agree with you there. You know, I think Matt Smith is useful and has been so far, and honestly, I hope that he's part of the puzzle. You know, he's an option. I still like him as a plan B, but right now they're using him as a plan A, and it's working so far. And I think Clyde Woodrow is also a piece of the puzzle, but they need a proven goal scorer. The one player that, again, this has been a lot of talk on social media, especially on Twitter over the past month, of Naki Wells. That's the player I would want, Curtis. He scored a bunch of goals with Huddersfield Town, and if I was Fulham, I would be going after him because he has that pace. I think he is Slavisa's type of striker that he would want. So for me, a championship striker, goal scorer, for me it would be Naki Wells.
Yeah, I'd love to see Naki Wells at the Cottage, but also throwing another name in there, Rudy Gusted. He's a bit like Naki Wells, just not as proven in the league, I would say. But, you know, he's up there with the top targets we should be targeting. And obviously McCormack going the other way to Villa. They've got someone in attack, so maybe they would let Gusted go. So I think he would definitely be a good signing. But yeah, there's a lot of players out there that could do the job. Just finding the right ones for Fulham, finding the right type,
yeah.
And you know, the personality is also key. You know, you want to get the players to like the new signings, and you know, to feel good with the way they play. And you don't want an uneven balance of personalities in the squad also. So it's just finding the right balance and for the right money and the right player. So, you know, we can speculate all we like. It's just whether it happens or not, hopefully it will, and hopefully we get a good striker in, you know, Gusted or Naki Wells. But, you know, just have to trust Slavisa and Mike Rigg with that, and hopefully something comes of it, and we can get a signature of a good striker before the deadline day.
Yeah, definitely. Listen, I saw some speculation, I want to say, yesterday of a striker in Belgium. You know, we're hearing all kinds of names. I want to say last week I saw some speculation with David Nugent. I mean, the names keep flying around, Curtis. So I know that they're obviously looking for a striker. It'll just be a matter of finding the right one. And for me, I agree with you. Has to have some pedigree in the. I would like it to be in the championship. If it's not, it's got to be someone that's prolific. Someone that has scored goals at some level, at a proven level. You know, again, the Belgium league. I'm not sure how reliable that would work in the championship. That's why I'm not so crazy about that piece of speculation. I would like it to be championship or Premier League level, obviously, and someone that's proven. And I guess we're going to have to see how this all plays out over these next few weeks, because the transfer window is starting to get down there. And
yeah, definitely.
And I think, you know, and I think, honestly, the closer that it gets, the pressure is going to be on for teams to sell more, and again, Fulham might be a little bit more desperate as well. But that's usually when the deals happen. I mean, many deals happen at the very end. I know people don't like it, but many deals do happen at the end. And I mentioned to you, I happened to watch the video like you did, and Slavisa was asked if, I'm paraphrasing, if he was confident that they would get the players in, and he said, quote, "I'm sure it will happen." So that's, you know, that's a strong quote from Slavisa, and I'm sure it will too. It's just a matter of, you know, it's nervous time, Curtis. Things haven't happened yet, and fans just want the players in, and this is what happens near the end of the window.
Yeah, well, The thing is, we don't want to leave it too late until we panic buy. That's something we got to be aware of, and you know, something that we should, you know, avoid if we can, and try and get someone now. And you know, like I said, the transfer's about balance, and I think that applies to the whole transfer. You know, the timing and everything. You got to try and get it right, so you don't panic buy now and try and get them in quickly, but you don't do it before the deadline day. And you know, trying to find the right person quickly is very important. And depending on what league, it doesn't matter as long as they work out. And
right,
you know, I agree that we definitely have to try and get a strong pedigree, as you call it, in for these players. And the Belgium league with that striker, you know, it might work out for Fulham. And Dennis Odoi, who's just come from the Belgium league, has has worked out so far. So
that's right.
Hopefully,
I was going to say that's a very good point. I should take that back after Dennis Odoi so far, Curtis. And let me mention the name of the striker. His name is Syriac. He's an Ivory Coast international, and I actually reading this from Here Is the City. It's talking about Fulham's wish list. It says Fulham are chasing Ustend striker Syriac, according to the Mirror, Friday edition, page 57. So that's the latest name. I just don't know much about him, and he might be a very good striker. I don't know. You know, for me, you know, I would like someone with championship experience or Premier League experience, but you just gave an example of a player that's worked out, so what do I know? You know, that's what scouts are for. If they find the right player, the right fit, bring him in and let's give him a chance, my friend. All right, let's move on. Let's move into the Cottage Talk Roundtable. I've got a couple of interesting topics for us to discuss. And the first one is definitely in the media right now, because there's all kinds of speculation with this player, 16 years old, huge future in front of him. But I want to ask you, what would you do if you were Slavisa? Many matches coming up, but coming up against Cardiff City. If you were Slavisa, would you continue to start Ryan Sessegnon, say, in that match and beyond that? Would you continue to play him if he continues to play well?
Yeah, definitely. Ryan has played very well in the first team so far and hasn't looked out of place whatsoever. So I saw him play at Leeds on Tuesday night, and it was a solid performance from him personally. And it's good for him also to get 90 minutes. It only builds confidence, and that's a massive thing. 16. So I have to say yes to the question. He's an enormous amount of talent, and I'm a firm believer in it. If you're old enough, you're good enough, and I hope Slavisa is too, because there's no question about it. He's a fantastic player, and sadly already being linked with a £3 million move to Tottenham, and you know, interest from Arsenal and all that sort of stuff. So hopefully we can tie him down on a long-term contract and you know, sign him up for as long as we possibly can.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic, and here's my first Goldman for the show. If he continues to play well, I ask you. Well, of course you're going to keep playing if he continues to play well. That was a good Goldman there, Curtis, because that's obvious. If Ryan Sessegnon continues to play at a high level, you would obviously continue to play him. My only concern with continuing to play him is that he is so young. You know, what do you do when he has that bad game, Curtis? Do you stick with him? You know, because again, he's such a young player. Do you stick with him and let him work out that his issues and continue to play him, or would you sit him? Say he has a bad game. How would you handle that if you were Slavisa?
Well, you could either handle it two ways. You could make him play on and hope to learn from his mistakes and try and get the Ryan Sessegnon that has been playing well to play well. Or you could sit him on the bench and make him think about his performance. Personally, I would try and play him as much as possible without hurting the team. So if he has a really bad game, then bring him off. But if it's a bad game and the teams play bad, then keep him on, because he needs to develop, and I think the right place is Fulham for him. He's been here for a few years now, I believe, and fantastic player, and yeah, just need to keep him on as much as we can without harming the team. Yeah.
See, the reason why I asked the question, Curtis, is that I've seen situations in several sports, including football, where a player gets taken off for a bad performance, and then you never hear from him again. And I'm not saying that's what Jokanović would do. In fact, I'm completely against that. If he, say, made a mistake, you know, you don't play him again, or you go back to Malone. I think right now, I think the best thing for Fulham and for Sessegnon is to play him. Doesn't matter the age. If he can play, he can play. And one of the examples that I want to give you is that deals with Stuart Dallas. And I want to ask you about Stuart Dallas because he was a player that – he was a player that I feared in that last match. And he held up really well against Stuart Dallas. Talk to us a little bit about what you saw in that match playing against Dallas, because I don't think he was out of place whatsoever.
No, not really. I thought overall we had much better performance than Leeds without shadow of a doubt, and they didn't deserve that last goal. So I think every single performance from us was better than them. They didn't really have a standout player, and Dallas is someone that can inject a lot of pace in the side, and coming from Brentford to Leeds, it was a good transfer, and I think it's 1.3 million or something like that. So it's a great transfer for them, and you know, he could have been a lot more active than what he was on Tuesday night, and we got the draw, and the result wasn't what we wanted, but in the manner that we played. But you know, we go on and just carry on and hope for the same performance from every single one of them, and especially Sessegnon, because 16 years of age, that is fantastic bit of talent we got there, and hopefully we need to keep him as long as we can. And and
listen, what's interesting about his performance, because I watched the replay, but you were there, so you really can talk in more depth than I can. I'm just watching it as a replay. Again, he did not look out of place. He looked dangerous. He looked good defensively as well. I will say this, Curtis. Obviously, the goal is very upsetting, the goal by Chris Wood at the end, and he's right there. He's going to learn from that situation. I think Fulham are going to learn from giving up that goal. That was a tough way to end a match for Fulham. But I see that as a learning experience for Sessegnon as well.
Yeah, definitely. We have to accept that it's happened. And as Slavica said today, we can't look back. There's no looking back for it. We just have to look forward now and look at how we're going to approach the next game. It's a massive learning curve, sorry, for them all. And, you know, you look at Sessegnon and such a young player with fantastic talent, and he's going to learn from every minute of the game, and something like that, you know, it's only going to help him learn that not everything in football is good performances and winning and top of the league. So it's going to help every single one of them, and hopefully they're going to learn from it, all of them, and we can come back stronger, have a few wins on the bounce against Cardiff, Blackburn, and maybe a little cup run, and win against Borough at the Cottage on Tuesday. Learning is the most important thing from that result, because in the way that we did it, we can only learn from it, and we have to carry on and not look back.
I totally agree, and that's why, even though it, I mean, listen, it stings. It still stings because they, you know, I'd like to say Fulham deserve the victory, but, you know, I'm always one that says, you know, you get what you deserve, and in the end, you know, they didn't defend it, so they got what they deserved. But they played very well. Again, that's my opinion. They played very well. And it was just a bad situation at the end that you can learn from. But one other thing before we move on from talking about Sessegnon, I do want to get your thoughts on Scott Malone and also the situation at fullback in general, Kerr. So I want to get your thoughts on this because this is something that not many are talking about because here we are, we're focusing on the fullback position. I was concerned when Ryan Fredericks went down that it would change things around. Dennis Odoi can play both fullback positions. He's now playing right back, but he can also play left back. I want to get your thoughts on Malone, but I also want to get your thoughts about these two positions because when Ryan Fredericks comes back, you're going to have another option there. Positions that last season you would have thought were a weakness could potentially maybe not be a strength, but you might be solid at both fullback positions as the season. What are your thoughts about that?
I think the fullback situation is quite good at the moment. You know, you've got Ryan Fredericks coming back, just had surgery. Got pace and, you know, it's going to work well on that side with Kearney. They've already had a season together in the training and in matches, so that's going to be a good partnership on that right-hand side. Dennis Odoi can move to left back or, you know, challenge for his place at right back still. And, you know, you've even got Jack Grimmer probably in the squad somewhere. Don't know where, but just, you know, coming through and pushing the first team players to work hard. And it's important that you have them type of players in the squad. But as you say, you know, got Dennis Odoi there and Scott Malone as well. So we're not short of fullback options, and we were linked this afternoon with someone at right back. And so, yeah, I'm not worried about our fullback position. We got Sessegnon there, who's going to be pushed by Ryan Fredericks coming back because Dennis Odoi will be playing and training for both positions, you know, to make sure that Fredericks doesn't come in and push him out. So Scott Malone's just going to improve as well. I don't see Scott going down because that competition is good. And
I totally agree. Go ahead.
If you're like Ross McCormack was last year and don't really have much competition, then you're going to get a bit lazy and it's not going to be good for you. So we have to have that competition there. And you've also got Richard Stearman that can supposedly play right back, which is questionable really. But
and you also have Tim Ream that can play
left back, yeah. And Thomas Callas can play right back as well.
Correct.
Originally started as a right back. So, yeah, we've got a lot of options. I'm not scared about our fullbacks. I'm more worried about our centre-back options, really, because Callas and Maddo have got a good partnership there. But what happens if one gets suspended and one gets injured, for example? You're going to have to put Stearman and Ream back in. But then we haven't really got much cover. You know, you've got Nikolai Budarov that hasn't got a squad number and that's not been training with the squad. So not looking that great. You know, you need to bring some centre back in that's good but is willing to sit on the bench if you like, because I don't see anyone getting ahead of Maddo and Callas at the moment.
I totally agree with that, but what's great about what you just said is the flexibility that we have with defenders in general. But I do agree with you. I think they need cover, and I forgot to mention this, that there was speculation that you and I were talking off air about a player, Norwich City player, Sebastian Bessong, who Savica worked with at Watford. center back, 30 years old. So we'll see if anything comes with that. I just found that interesting because, again, Savisa did mention Curtis. We already talked about it. He mentioned in his video that he wants a center back. So I have a feeling that he will get a center back. We'll just see who it is. Maybe it's Bassong in the end. We'll see how this all plays out. All right, my friend, let's move on. My other topic in the Cutters Talk roundtable is this. If you were Savisa, who would be the central midfielder to start regularly with Kevin McDonald, or would it be on a rotation basis?
I think this is pretty open, to be honest, because we haven't got a lot of cover there at the moment. You know, you got LVC, Lasser, who's quite good, that can come in and do the job and did quite well one season. So you've also got Tunnicliffe and two youngsters there that can do the job. But I think you need experience if you want to get up in the league, and experience that isn't too old. And Scott Parr can do the job, but not twice a week. So I think you definitely have to start Kevin McDonald most of the games this season, and hopefully we can get in another centre mid to push LBC and Tunners. And let's not forget, if we get Ben Marshall, Tom Kearney could go back to centre mid. So it's very open and very very interesting to see what happens. But I'd personally play McDonald and Parker on Saturday, and McDonald and Tunners, or McDonald and LVC. Personally, I prefer Lasser to Tunners, but I think they need to rotate and fight for their place, because that's the sort of competition that can help players and help the progress, which can push us higher up in the league.
Okay, so it sounds like what you're saying is that you do see this as a rotation situation. And what's interesting with Scott Parker, these are just my thoughts. I'm just sharing my thoughts on this. Curtis, at home, I think you play Scott Parker. Those Tuesday night games on the road, like that just happened, I was surprised that he played. I thought he was going to go with Tunnicliffe, honestly. But he went with Parker, and Parker played well. So Savisa was proven right by that decision. But I think you're asking a lot of Scott Parker to play every single match, Curtis. So that's why I'm thinking that you're going to have to rotate if you plan on using Scott Parker on a semi-regular basis.
Yeah, but, you know, I think we definitely need a new signing there, because I don't think LVC and Tunners are good enough for a title-winning squad. And if we want to, you know, try and achieve automatic promotion and playoffs, going to have to get someone in at centre mid. You know, they're good enough for mid-table, but I'd love to see someone else next to Kevin McDonald, someone that's got discipline and someone that can control the game with Kevin McDonald and, alongside him.
Okay, very good there, my friend. It's an interesting situation, and I just want to say, I mean, seriously, Scott Parker has done well, so it's difficult. You know, I expect him to play tomorrow with Kevin McDonald, but when you have all these midweek matches, especially away from Craven Cottage, what do you do at that point? You know, do you rotate it? I say you do, unless you can find in the transfer market someone that you can really count on. And you already said this, and I already said this, that Savisa mentioned in this video, he talked about center back, he talked about people always talking about replacements for Dembele and for McCormick, but he also said that he's looking for a central midfielder. So I think he's looking for someone as well. Curtis, I don't think he's settled there. That's just my opinion on that. And that's what makes the situation pretty interesting, because I like Kevin McDonald. I think he plays regularly, but who plays with him? All right, let's move on, my friend. Let's get into our preview. And we're going to do this two ways. I'm going to share a good amount of information with you, my friend. We're going to do it three ways, because I'm going to I'm going to actually end with us talking more about Fulham. We're going to spend a good amount of time right now talking about Cardiff City. I'm going to share some information from you, from whoscored.com, and then I'm going to share some information with you from a blogger who covers Cardiff City. So he has some very interesting information to share. We'll do it in, like I said, we're going to do this in three parts. Let's start with the information I have from whoscored.com. I want to get your thoughts on it. Again, please do check out this website. They have some really good information. It's statistical-based, but just do check it out. This is what whoscored.com says about Cardiff. Let's start with their strengths. Very strong in creating long-shot opportunities. Their weaknesses: finishing scoring chances, avoiding fouling in dangerous areas, very weak in avoiding offside. Their style: short passes, attack through the middle, consistent first 11, playing in their own half, non-aggressive, play the offside trap. Opponents play aggressively against them. Now it gives you a match forecast. It says Cardiff will stray offside often. That's very likely, and there will be a low number of cards shown. The team news, it says if Fulham remain unchanged, 16-year-old Ryan Sessegnon will make his home debut, denying Scott Malone a chance to play against his former club. Should he reshuffle his pack again? This is all according to WhoScored.com. White's boss, Savisa Jokanovic, does have options in midfield: Ryan Tunnicliffe, Lasse Vigen Christensen, or new signing Josebed Sanchez, who made his debut at Leeds in midweek, could come in. Ryan Fredericks is the only absentee as he recuperates from ankle surgery. For Cardiff, Cardiff have concerns at right wing back. Jazz Richards, signed from Fulham in the summer, missed a midweek win over Blackburn with a calf injury, while replacement Lee Pelletier came off with an ankle injury. Kadeem Harris may be used there if neither are fit, but Stuart O'Keefe, broken arm, is definitely out. Paul Traub is likely to stick to three at the back, but could restore Frederick Gnongbe up front. Okay, and it does have the formation as a 3-5-1-1. So that's the formation that they have. Match facts from WhoScored.com. Cardiff have failed to win in their last six away matches from the championship. Prediction: fourth place Fulham are unbeaten after wins over Newcastle and Preston in draw at Leeds on Tuesday. Cardiff are 3 points and 10 places further adrift, but picked up their first win of the campaign in midweek thanks to Blackburn defender Shane Duffy's two own goals. Fulham are a team reshaped and reborn under Jokanovic, while Cardiff haven't won away from home in the league since March. Home win. WhoScored.com is predicting a 2-0 Fulham victory. All right, Curtis, let's just start with the information I talked about, strengths and weaknesses of Cardiff. What stands out to you?
What stands out is that they have injury concerns that could change their formation, and which is probably good for us in a way, but probably bad for us in another way. You know, Slav won't know how to set up, and on the good side of it, you know, Paul Trollope, their head coach, I think he is, and they won't have any consistency at starting at different formations. So, you know, Jazz missing is probably a bad thing for us. But if they go three at the back, then that could be a good thing for us. If you have Aite and Kenny going down the wing, because it could spread their back three out with Smith or Woodrow getting that chance in the middle. So could be a good match for attacking opportunities from our perspective because of that. But it could also surprise us because we won't know certainly how they'll line up for the match on tomorrow.
Okay, very good there, my friend. All right, I'm going to share some more information with you. This is from Ben James. His Twitter account, please do give him a follow. It's View from the Nin. And the website that he runs is viewfromtheninian.wordpress.com. He is is a blogger who blogs about Cardiff City, so I sent him a bunch of questions. Curtis, I'm going to read you the questions and the answers, and then I want to get your thoughts on it. My first question was to ask him about Paul Trolle and get his thoughts on the Cardiff City manager. And here was his response. Here was Ben's response. Before the season, I thought it was a good appointment, but three games in, none of our players have scored a goal. We beat Blackburn thanks to two own goals. He needs a good result soon. Otherwise, people will become more restless than they already are. I think he's got the right ideas, but it doesn't seem to be working so far. Then I asked him the players to look out for Cardiff City for Fulham. He said, Peter Winningham is always a dangerous player, a wonderful left foot, and keeps things ticking over in the middle. Anthony Pilkington is a danger player. I agree with that. Good out wide and through the center. Where do you see the strength of Cardiff City right now? Then I asked him. His response, defensively and in the midfield. At the back, Manga and Morrison are a good pair, and in the middle, Rails, Whittingham, and Gunnarsson are all classy individuals. Emer Hughes might be in condition to make his full debut, too. Then I asked him, what Fulham players are you concerned about? His response, Aluko can be a complete handful, very skillful and tricky. Smith is a bit of a beast up front, too, and will challenge our players in the air. Then I asked him what he would do if he were Slavisa. Here was a question. If you're Fulham head coach Slavisa Jokanović, what would be your strategy to take advantage of the weaknesses with Cardiff City? Ben's answer, attack. We seemingly can't score at the moment. I'm pretty sure if you score one, we won't score any. We are strong defensively, but Manga and Morrison are both prone to errors and lapses. So if you attack us consistently, we won't win. Then I asked him for his formation in starting 11 that he thinks Paul Trolle would use. He says, I highly doubt it will change from Wednesday. We play 5-3-2 of sorts. So he has Marshall as your goalkeeper. Your center backs are Ukul, Manga, Morrison, and Connolly, Peltier, and left back John. And I see, and then he has Winningham, Rails, Gunnarsson, Emers, and Pilkington. And then he says Hughes or Zahor might slot in place of Rails and Emers, but I don't think Trolle will change a winning team. Then I asked for his prediction. We shall lose 2-1, I reckon. So that's from Ben James, the Cardiff City blogger. Please do check out his Twitter account, View from the Nin. All right, Curtis, what stands out to you from the information I just shared with you from Ben James?
No Cardiff players have scored this season. that's quite good for us. No confidence in their attack. And if you're Slavisa, of course you're gonna attack, you know. If they can't score, then you need to put them a couple goals down straight away, so they feel like they can't win in a way. And you know, you've got to dominate them, you've got to make them feel like they can't win. And you know, they could surprise us, but I don't think so. I think we can definitely brush them aside. Smith and Aluka up front will be very good, and you know, he's obviously concerned about that, he just said. And you know, we can take advantage of Smith's height and our wingers, so we've got to do that, and we've got to try and, you know, put so much pressure on them they can't breathe, and, you know, we've just got to attack.
You know, what's so funny about that is that I did this show, Curtis, with Andrew, a new co-host, on Monday, and we talked about what would you do against Leeds, and it was attack. So I agree with you. I think that has to be the strategy. Go at this team. This team has, you know, again, two own goals. Attack them. Go after them. And don't let them breathe, like you just said. I think if we do that, we're going to score. We can hurt them in the air, as Ben said, but we can also hurt them with our pace. So definitely, I think that combination could be lethal tomorrow. of and because I do expect Smith to play, if you put pace with it, I think we could be in a really good situation for tomorrow there, Curtis. All right, my friend, let's now transition. Let's now talk about Fulham. Let's focus now on Fulham in this match. Who are your key players tomorrow against Cardiff City for Fulham?
I would say Kearney because of his creativity and, you know, he's been key all season. And we need to create as many chances for Smith as our shots to goal ratio isn't that good. So we need to create as many chances as we can to give ourselves the best possible chance. Kevin McDonald, because he can change the game, you know, is he's got the ability to make us attack and stop their attack before they get to Callis and Maddow. And I think Kevin hasn't taken the credit he deserves because Callis and Maddow have had that shield of McDonald. And I think he should be given a lot of credit for that. He's done quite well so far this season, and no one has really given him any credit for it. So, yeah, Kearney, McDonald, and also Luko, so he'll have to run up the Cardiff defence and, like I say, try and not make them breathe because we can really, you know, put them under pressure tomorrow, and hopefully that they can... we can score early on, and you know, Luko's going to be key in that because he has to run up the defence tomorrow if we want to push on. So yeah, they're my three key players. I haven't included a defender or a goalkeeper tomorrow because I think we'll be attacking as much as we can, and we won't let them attack.
Okay, very good. Let's talk a little bit more about Floyd Ayite. What have you thought of him as a player so far, what you've seen?
Well, I've only seen the Newcastle and Leeds match this season, and I thought he was quite good against Newcastle. He, you know, he looked quite good, and I thought Aluko looked quite good in that match, and... that match was a team performance, Newcastle, and you know he needs to run at more players. And against Leeds, he wasn't as busy and wasn't as good, I didn't think, as he was against Newcastle. But you know he just needs time. He needs to adapt to English football, and hopefully, if we give him that time, he can do the job for us, which, you know, I know he can because he's got the pace, he's got the power, and hopefully he can work with Sessegnon and that bond continues and strengthens.
Okay, very good there, my friend. I think we've only seen the beginning of what Floyd Ayite can offer us. I think it's just a matter of time before he starts scoring. I could be wrong. He was very good in France, and I just think it's going to just take him a little bit more time in the championship. But I actually think he's going to start to score goals, Curtis. I think we're going to be surprised with how many goals he scores when we look at it at the end of the year, because I think he's going to end up scoring goals. I don't know how many. I don't think he's going to score like 10, but I think he's going to score more goals than people think. All right, my friend. Give me your starting 11 for tomorrow.
I don't think Slavisa would change too much, and I wouldn't either. And despite fixture congestion, I would go for Button in goal. Probably should have had a stronger hand for Wood's goal at the last minute on Tuesday, but apart from that, he's been good this season, I think. Sessegnon, you know, keep playing him as much as possible. We need... need him to play and need him to continue being around the first team and in that first team to help him develop. Callis and Maddow, they've been solid this season, and they need to play with each other, so that was a no-brainer. and Odoi right back. Played fantastically so far this season. And yeah, his debut for us against Newcastle was fantastic, and I've never seen any skill like that before, controlling it with the back. So yeah, he's straight in the starting 11. McDonald and Tunnicliffe, I was tempted to put Parker in there.
Okay.
But, you know, Tuesday night, that's a lot for him, a Tuesday night. So, there's a lot of fixtures. So, I think Tunnicliffe would do the job tomorrow. And Kearney, right mid, right attacking mid. Got to keep him in there. Fantastic player. Aluko, centre attacking mid. Looked very sharp this season so far. And I'm going to put in a surprise here. I think Yozabed will probably start instead of Floyd Aiete.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think, you know, possibly, you know, I'll probably be wrong. I think he needs time, but I think he could be chucked straight in the starting 11, and hopefully we can see him tomorrow. But personally, I think I would start Floyd, but I think Slavisa will go Yozabed.
Okay.
And throw in a surprise there. But, you know, he might well change the attacking mids around and, you know, might put Kearney left mid, for example. So we'll see tomorrow, but I think, you know, definitely need to change something in the side, because these fixtures, you can't keep on going on like playing the same 11 every match, because it would just come to spite you in the end of the season. And then Smith up front, the team has done very well so far, so I think keep the base of it the same, you know, the Kearney, the McDonald, the Button, Callis and Maddle. And so yeah, I expect Yozabed to play, as I said, played a lot last year. I think scored against Barcelona and Real Madrid. And he seems, from what I've heard and what Slavisa has said, very flexible in where he plays and will fit anywhere, which is good. And we need players like that. And it will challenge LVC and Tunners as well, and back up Aiete, Luko and Kearney. So, yeah, could progress, and you know, could be a good signing and good for squad depth.
Oh, very good there, my friend. And what's interesting, and you know, I see where you're going on this, and that I think Savisa likes to sometimes move the chess pieces around, so he has that ability with several of these players to do that. Flexibility. Some of these players, they can move different positions to fit what he needs to do to win a match. And I do like a manager that looks at it and tries to exploit a weakness of a team. And he might set us up a certain way to exploit Cardiff. And I'm all for that. So I find it interesting that you mentioned that. Before we go into predictions, I want to ask you that. Basically, just your opinion on this. Because I actually think this is another reason why you attack them. We will have an extra day of rest, Curtis. They played Wednesday. Now, you would think that this team should be okay to play a game, you know, just being from Wednesday. But I think that's another reason to just go right at this team and try to really score on them early.
Yeah, definitely. You have to go and attack. You know, their defense isn't that good and their attack isn't. So, you know, you have to put pressure on them, and I hope that, you know, Slavisa does that. Because if we do, I think, you know, we'll be rewarded and, you know, we'll win. So definitely attack and, yeah, go for it.
I totally agree. Attack, attack, attack again. I'll go for that. All right, my friend, let's go to predictions. I will give you the predictions from the Cutters Talk Twitter page, the Facebook page, then I'll go to you for your own prediction, then I'll end with my prediction. Let's start with the Cutters Talk Twitter page. I had a poll that I did earlier today. It had 231 votes, Curtis. So that's a decent amount of votes. 5% loss, 10% draw, 85% win. So that shows you the confidence that the Fulham supporters have in this upcoming match against Cardiff City. 85% are picking victory, Curtis.
Yeah, amazing, really.
It really is.
How much confidence it can put in the fans after, you know, a couple of games, you know, still unbeaten. And they've only won one game for a couple of fine goals. So,
I was going to say, confidence is high. And listen, I'm a positive person, so I love it. So confidence is definitely high. Now I'm going to share the predictions from the Cutters Talk Facebook page, and something tells me they're going to back up what I just shared on the Twitter page. Let's start with Chris Baugh, 3-1 to Fulham. James Eade, 3-0 to Fulham. Andrew McKenzie, 4-0 to Fulham. Ian Keith Evans, 2-0 to Fulham. Chris Gould, 3-0 to Fulham. Billy Marsh, you're going to like this. 1-0 to Fulham, Jazz own goal. I don't even know if he's going to play, so we'll see.
Yeah,
Chris Davidson, 1-0 Matt Smith scores. Roger Lewis, 3-1 to us. Let's see. Jeanette Philpott, 1-0 to Fulham. Alan Freestone, 3-0 to Fulham. Guy Rowe, 2-1 to Fulham. Lisa Otley, 2-0 to Fulham. Andrew Iliff, 2-1 to Fulham. Andrew was my co-host on Monday, so thank you for chiming in there, Andrew. Lester Nichols, 2-0 to Fulham. Brendan Cronin, 3-1. Dan Pintoni, I'm going 1-0. Won't be an easy match, but I think we'll get the job done. Josh Smythe, 1-0 to Fulham. Samuel Beattie, 2-1 to Fulham. Justin Glessner, 2-1 to Fulham. Phil Harper, 2-0 to Fulham. I can keep going on and on. Gags Owen, 2-1. Ben Reed, 3-1 to Fulham. Stephen Moore, 2-0. Richard Bamber, 3-0. Jazz Richards' own goal and a penalty. Another Jazz Richards' own goal. I love it. Matthew Camp, 2-0 Fulham. Adam Martin Pallett, 1-0. Brian Hughes, 2-0. Stephen O'Keefe, 2-1 to Fulham. Ryan Hankin, 2-0. And finally, Steve Lydiot, another one of our co-hosts, 2-1 to Fulham. So, Curtis, I just gave you a ton of predictions, all predicting a Fulham victory. It's now your turn. What is your prediction for tomorrow?
I'm going to go 2-0. I think probably Smith and Kearney. So important, the match tomorrow, because it could, you know, keep us going and keep confidence high. But, you know, if Cardiff surprise us and win, then, you know, it could turn things around. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going tomorrow and, you know, really desperate to see another Fulham win.
Okay. And, Curtis, I'm with you. I wrote down 2-0, so I'm going right with you. 2-0 to Fulham. I think we're going to win this match. I'm making it 2-0 because I really think it's also important that Fulham get a clean sheet. This is a team that, as the Cardiff City blocker reminded us, they haven't scored one for themselves yet. It's been two own goals. So, again, I think this is an opportunity for David Button to get another clean sheet. I'm going 2-0 to Fulham. All right, my friend, it's time to wrap this up. Great show. Great job, Curtis. Great job. I hope you enjoyed it, my friend.
Yeah, I did. Thanks, Ross. Yeah, good to do the show again. And, be on soon.
I look forward to you joining me again. Before we go, any final thoughts about the match, about anything with Fulham?
No, that's it. Got it all in. Just hope for a good rest of the transfer window. And yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Curtis, thank you so much for joining me tonight. Unfortunately, our friend Giannis Shanaeus could not join us tonight. He is scheduled to join us on Sunday for the post-match show, so look forward to speaking to Giannis again. But, Curtis, my friend, you did an excellent job, just me and you, and you did brilliantly, my friend. You should be very proud. But it's time to go, my friend. For Curtis, I am Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Connors Talk. Cheers, Curtis. Have a good night.
Thanks, Russ. Thanks, everyone.